Hey, this is Ryan Tucker, and we want to thank you for listening to the Unchangeable Truth Podcast. In this podcast, we get to dive into Pastor Stephen's weekly sermons right here at Highland Park Baptist Church. We would ask you to rate, like, subscribe, and comment. And again, we are honored and thankful that you have chosen to listen to the Unchangeable Truth. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Unchangeable Truth Podcast with Stephen Kyle right here in Panama City, Florida, Highland Park Baptist Church.
You did a little different intro.
I'm trying.
That's good. I like
you know,
that.
I mean, we're doing a different time of the day.
It's true.
You know, so, you know, trying something a little different.
You know, we got to stay on whatever journey's schedule is.
I know it.
A very busy man.
He is.
So, I think even last week week before we did a little bit of recording. Journey wasn't even here.
Yeah. That's true. That's right.
Yeah. When Journey's not here, it's just real quiet. I even forget we have a producer in the room. Anyway, we miss it when he's not here.
Yeah, that's true.
He's the brainchild behind all this.
He is. He's the boss.
Yeah, Journey and paperclips and styrofoam. That kind of keeps this whole thing running. And we're doing a little interesting, you know.
That's why we don't touch the TV, because it may fall down.
Well, that TV looks a lot better on camera than it does in person, I can tell you that.
That's true.
But it's all about smoke and mirrors.
That's right.
I know most folks watching this are looking at the studio, and they're like, my goodness, man, that's pretty fancy right there. And then if you were to come up here, you'd be like, oh, my goodness.
Lots of cords.
I had no idea.
Lots of plugs.
Yeah. And you know, it's probably unfair for me to even divulge what's going on. That, you know, maybe we should have some gold-gilded chairs up here. we could try to make it look like
gold-gilded chairs.
Yeah, some of those guys that you know, are up there. Like your Copelands and guys like that. He scares me a little bit. We were talking about that. I know we'll probably get in trouble, me calling him by name, but he does. He scares me. I say he scares me. No, I mean, he doesn't scare me. I don't sit there, ooh, but.
Creeps you out.
Well, yeah. I mean, honestly, I look and I'm like, man, that almost seems demonic.
Yeah, it's scary.
Yeah,
I wouldn't want to be around him.
Yeah. I would just say anybody that's listening to that cat, go ahead and find something. You'd be better just not to listen to anything spiritual at all.
Yeah.
If you're going to listen to him.
Mm.
But we addressed that a few podcasts ago.
Yeah.
So
in our context series. Well, let me tell you about your context series.
Well, yeah. That's what we're doing right now. Context. And I'm excited. I've got a couple of the places we're going to go in the context series. And we may not get to do it all through our podcast. We may have to take a special day where we do kind of throw them all in there together. And
yeah.
I want to remind everybody, I was talking to a guy just this morning who said, hey, I miss the days when you guys would just sit there and just talk until you got done. And we would. I mean, sometimes we'd go an hour or something just sitting here talking. Well, that was before we started doing a Sunday night show with a 30-minute broadcast in which it has to be even less than that.
27 minutes and 38 seconds.
Yeah, but Journey and I have talked about maybe picking up a little extra time on doing a new intro and outro we could maybe pick up 30 seconds or something like that. Even though, I don't know, that intro is pretty fast, talking as quick as I can. So.
Yeah.
But, that's the reason why. That's the reason why we went to a shorter podcast. Yeah. And we felt like 27 minutes of us might be enough for somebody. But we're never sitting here needing content.
True.
True. So, and one of the things, you know, we'll say about this context that I like to say, I think it's kind of funny type. You know, unfortunately, when we're talking about context, there's a lot more people. It's con more than it's text.
Yeah.
They're trying to drive something that they're wanting it to say, and usually for personal gain. And it's sad.
Yeah.
It's sad that there are folks out there that claim to be speaking on behalf of God for personal gain. I'd say it's scary for the simple fact of, man, one day they'll give an account for that.
Yeah.
If you look in Scripture, man, Jesus, some of the harshest words he speaks are people that are taking advantage of others in the name of God.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so if you're not here on Wednesday, man, pick up that context series, and I know we've got a couple podcasts that we'll be doing on that, and it's been a good series, very eye-opening series.
But so we got Daniel to talk about.
We do.
Daniel chapter 2, the end of Daniel chapter 2.
Yeah, and that's what you're doing on Sunday mornings, Daniel chapter 2.
That is. And so,
it's been good.
We got two different series that we're kind of mixing in and out here. So I just gave a little 2-minute expose on our context series, but we're actually talking about Daniel.
Just a little trailer. Yeah. Little trailer of what's to come.
Well, and today we're going to deal with something that is almost titled this sermon, The Coming Kingdom of Christ. And I'm like, well, I don't need to title it that because that's what I've titled the entire series. So anyway, but yeah, it talks a lot about the different kingdoms that are there, and Daniel really gets into some of this prophetic prophetic word, and it's kind of neat if you know folks are sitting there saying, "I'd like to do end time studies or whatever." I would study Daniel before I ever got into Revelation. And that's what we're going to do, because so much of Revelation is going back to reference Daniel, and Jesus even referenced Daniel in some of his teachings as well on end time. But Daniel's a great book, and some great personal lessons there. Some great examples that we see of faith and obedience. But then also, hey, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream that went beyond Nebuchadnezzar, that we're on this side of it talking about it being history. And yet when Daniel's writing it, it clearly is prophecy. The only one that you would say wasn't prophecy would have been, I guess, the Babylonian Empire that they were already in. But he prophesied, hey, this is going to come to an end.
Yeah.
Anyway, and I'm jumping ahead of myself, but I know Daniel's a great book. And put those Jesus glasses on, it'll help you understand it.
Well, and it's been a really good series, you know, as you're taking us through, you know, chapter by chapter on kind of just unfolding what's happening as you are, you know, talking about what it looks like, you know, leading up to the Revelation series, what it looks like, you know, for end times type study. But you know, there in chapter 2, where, you know, this is where Daniel just told King Nebuchadnezzar what his dream was. And you even say, you know, like, can you imagine that moment where, you know, King Nebuchadnezzar, like, hears this when no one else has said it? And
well, nobody else even tried.
Right.
Because they're like, we cannot do this.
Yeah. And it's just, I mean, just the unbelievable work of God in the way that Daniel lived his life. I mean, that's just, I don't know. There's so many layers to this that are so interesting, you know, especially when you, you know, you, I think you titled this message, you know, Crumbling Kingdoms and the Wrecking Rock.
And so my wife is the one who came up with that title.
Yeah.
I was sitting there and, last week we were up in the northern mountains of Georgia. And I was working on some stuff, and I said, you know, I'm kind of stumped on a sermon title, because again, I was wanting to call it the Coming Kingdom of Christ.
So you worked on vacation?
Well, it really wasn't vacation. It was more of kind of sabbatical type deal. You know, to be able to get away to where there's really not anything going on.
Getting away from all those crazy staff guys.
Yeah, I guess. Well, just the realities of life and being able to work on things and be some quietness and stuff. So, but I was sitting in there and I'm like, man, I really want to call it this, but that's the name of the entire series. And my wife loves the historical aspect of the Bible and knows history, biblical history, a lot better than I do. And so I just told her where I was, and then she's like, well, you ought to call it Crumbling Kingdoms and the Wrecking Rock. Even had a little bit of alliteration in there, so I'm like, that'd be good. I struggled a little bit with the Wrecking Rock because he's going to destroy it, but he's the hope giving rock too. So I went with that, and kind of rolls off the tongue, I guess.
Well, and the, you know, just the way that you, again, with this statue that is represented in this text, and the way you broke it down, a way that, and even I've been to seminary and, you know, missed some of this in seminary, but, you know, what all these different things of this Gentile kingdom that it's kind of illustrating, was a really good reminder of, you know, again, the unchanging truth of Scripture, how it points to Jesus, how it's so relevant and practical even in today's world.
Yeah, no doubt. And I even made the statement when I began the sermon, hey, today we're going to take history.
Yeah.
And history is going to prove to us that the book that you hold in your hands, the Bible, is a supernatural book. Now, we don't need history to do that. We know it's supernatural because of what the Lord has done in our own lives and what the Bible gives testimony to there. But we see it over and over again. I mean, you can even take archaeological evidence and it proves that the Bible is absolutely true.
Yeah.
You're not going to hear a lot about that in the secular world and in worldly academia because they want you to think this is a fictitious book or a book full of fables and made up stories and it's not a literal book. It's all symbolic, and there is some symbolism, but it is extremely liberal and literal, not liberal. Maybe that I should say it that way. It is extremely literal. But here we see this statue that Daniel's like, well, here's what it represents. It represents all these Gentile kingdoms or these empires, these dynasties that are man-made. And there's going to be a rock that comes one day, and all the things that have been made by man, they're going to be destroyed.
Yeah.
The only thing that'll be left standing is the rock. And we know the rock is Jesus Christ. So, yeah, I love the fact that you can look through history and hear these kingdoms, boom, 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 boom. And they're laid out there for you. And the first one there is Nebuchadnezzar. And, you know, I can see Nebuchadnezzar saying, yeah, I'm the head.
Yeah.
I'm the gold. I mean, because gold even then was still the most precious of all metals.
Yeah.
And we're going to see he's going to take it in chapter 3, and he's actually going to build off of that. All right, hey, since I am the head that's gold, I'm going to go ahead and build a whole thing of me that's gold, and we can worship me. So,
well, and you mentioned all these kingdoms, the you know, Babylonian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, the Greek Empire, and then you kind of get to the Roman Empire, and you make this interesting statement when it comes to the Roman Empire, because you were talking about how, again, just going through history and how these different empires were defeated. You talk about how the way the Roman Empire was defeated was they defeated themselves. Like, it came from within. The defeat came from within.
Yeah, the Babylonian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, the Greek Empire, they were all conquered by other dynasties.
Yeah.
They were conquered by those coming dynasties that we just mentioned there. But not the Romans. No, nobody came in and conquered the Roman army.
Yeah.
You know, the Romans could always say, you know, there's no army like ours. And that's true. I mean, they were unbelievably fierce. I even shared that history tells us a lot of times all they'd have to do is show up on the shores of whatever country that they were going to conquer, and they would immediately, oh, it's the Romans. We give up.
Yeah.
White flag, we're done.
Yeah.
We don't want to even engage in warfare with you. And so they had the strongest military in the land. They would have had the strongest economy anywhere around because they owned the whole world.
Yeah.
Leadership was strong. Now it was a dictatorship.
Right.
But even then, dictatorship, you still had some evidence there of democratic type things and the way that they functioned. But it wasn't a situation of someone coming in more powerful or more money or anything like that. It was poor decisions that they made that went unchecked, and it started to crumble from the inside.
Yeah.
And, you know, I look at that today, and to me, my goodness, yeah, I mean, we could say that of the United States of America, that I don't think there's a military out there that could even compare to ours with all the technology that we have and the economic status and
manpower
economic base
alone,
and manpower and my goodness. And so I just think it's a lesson to us.
Yeah.
Hey man, be very careful. Let's learn from the past mistakes of history. We've got to be very careful.
Yeah.
And we still need to have checks and balances, and we also need to understand that the reason why we have been blessed as a nation is because of God's blessings in our life.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, what we have seen as a nation is almost, let's try to remove God from the fabric of our nation. And that'd be a very dangerous thing for us to do. But I think there's a lot for us to learn from the Roman Empire. And I guess you could say it really didn't even collapse as much as it went in a comatose state.
Yeah.
And there's guys through history that have tried to revive it and never has. I think it will happen one day.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's talk about God's kingdom.
Yeah, let's do
okay?
that.
Okay. Like, and you even say, you know, his current kingdom is spiritual, but his coming kingdom is real. And again, just this reminder that Jesus is king.
And yeah, and there's some confusion there because of a statement that Christ made, over in Luke 17, where he talks about the kingdom of God, and the way the King James translates it is the kingdom of God is within you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the kingdom of God lives inside of me, right? Jesus living inside of me. But we got to put it in proper context there. He makes that statement to a Pharisee.
Yeah.
So the Holy Spirit was not living inside of him. So it wasn't the kingdom of God is there inside of you. It was more of the kingdom of God is among you because I am the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
You got to have a king to have a kingdom. Jesus Christ is the king. I am and I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm among you. I'm in front of you. You're hearing what I'm saying. And of course, we know they rejected him. And so, right now, spiritually, there is the kingdom of God. I think we would agree that the world as we know it, we wouldn't sit there and say, oh, that is the kingdom of God, because it's still riddled with sin.
Yeah.
We don't see the fulfillment of what the kingdom of God is going to look like one day, but it will.
And so
I think there was a little confusion there for those who've really dug in and studied the scripture. So, I guess the way to say it is that while the kingdom of Christ is not completely fulfilled right now, it will one day be exactly the way that the Bible has prophesied that it'll take place and happen. Now, we don't know exactly how it's going to happen.
Right.
But we know what the end result will be.
Yeah. In this whole talking about God's kingdom and that it is real, you break down the fact this rock, this to go back to your title, this wrecking rock, but that the rock of salvation, you know, you talk about Jesus being the rock of salvation. You talk about he is the only rock of salvation. There's no other way, but then you kind of make these other statements too, meaning that are saying that we'll never be right enough, we'll never be holy enough, we'll never be good enough, but Jesus is that rock that absolutely brings us salvation, not based off of what we can do on our own. And
well, foundation, I mean, you can think of that when it comes to the rock as well. I mean, you know, he is the rock of salvation in the fact that he is the only rock of salvation.
Yeah.
There's no one, there's nothing else. And we really, really focused on this in the sermon. I know the day and time that we live in, the political correctness of the world that we live in, that folks will sit there and say, well, it really doesn't matter. I mean, you can believe, I mean, your faith can be in Jesus, or your faith can be in Buddha, or your faith can be in Muhammad, or your faith could be in you or your own God, or none of those things really matter as long as you're an individual of faith.
Sorry.
There are folks that'll even say all of those will eventually lead to the same God. Well, I mean, you might could put those other ones there. I've studied them. I've not studied them in as great of detail as I have Christianity and the Bible. Jesus could not be a part of that.
Yeah.
He didn't leave that option to
us.
Jesus never said, group me in as one of the ways.
Right, right.
Yet over and over he said, I'm the only way.
Yeah.
I'm the only way. So when it comes to him, either you believe he is the only way or you believe he's not a way at all.
Yeah.
He didn't leave that option there. So, you know, the scripture even tells us here, again, I mean, yeah, he's the only one, the only rock. I mean, Acts tells us there's only one name under heaven by which men can be saved. Well, what are they saved from their sin?
Yeah.
There's only one way to be reconciled with God, and that is through Jesus Christ as Lord of their life. Again, the Bible says the only one way to the Father, and that is through me.
Yeah.
And so this ideology that we have today, well, in order for me to be tolerant, in order for me to be kind, in order for me to be accepting, I must embrace the fact that anybody can believe anything that they want to believe, and they'll still be right with God. Now, I'll be the first to say, I believe anybody has their right to believe anything that they want to believe. That is part of the freedom that we have living in the nation that we live in.
Right.
As far as you can believe anything that you want to believe. Now, you can't do anything that you want to do.
Right.
I mean, there are rules, right? There's a law that we have that protects other people. But I can believe anything that I want to believe. But just because you believe something doesn't mean that I, who I believe has the truth, shouldn't share with you the truth.
Yeah.
And I share that truth out of conviction. I share that truth out of love. I share that truth out of brokenness. The fact that somebody would believe that there's another way and follow that way, I firmly believe that one day they will find out that was not the right way.
Yeah.
And that is going to be a day of destruction. And so while I respect the right that they can believe anything that they want to believe, I'm constantly going to sit there and say, can I share with you the truth?
Yeah.
And people would say, well, who are you to have a corner market on the truth?
Right.
Well, I'm nobody. I'm just someone who has received the truth.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't understand. I mean, why was I born to the parents that I was born to that at an early age taught me salvation is found in Jesus Christ? I mean, why did I, in my entire life, I mean, I can't ever remember a time, Ryan, where I did not have a copy of the Bible.
Right.
I don't get that. I don't understand.
Right.
I'm thankful for that.
Yeah.
And so I would say this, I have a much higher responsibility because of that's who I am and the background that I have, so people can understand the truth. Now, that truth should not inflate my ego. Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah.
Look at who I am.
Yeah.
I've got the truth. The rest of you don't, so you're damned to hell. And almost take joy out of the fact that because of their spiritual pursuit, I know what the end product's going to be. If anything, it should be humbling.
Yeah,
man, I'm humbled. I'm humbled that I'm saved, and now Christ has called me to get the good news, the gospel, right, to get the truth to the entire world. I'm broken over the fact that there are people who believe something else that I believe absolutely to be a false gospel.
Yeah.
And so I want my existence to be, let me share with you the truth. I'm going to do it in love.
Yeah.
I want to do it. You know, my prayer is, Lord, change, open their eyes, open their minds and their hearts to be receptive to the gospel. It angers me to some degree for those who profess the name of Christ to sit there and say, well, this is just the way I've chosen to believe.
Yeah.
But it's not, you know, it's unloving for me to tell someone else that because they embrace Buddhism or they embrace Islam, it's wrong for me to say that they're wrong. Well, then I would say, then you're not embracing the same Christianity that I understand.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it out of hatred.
Right.
I'm doing it because I firmly believe that.
Yeah.
It would be, I tell you what, this morning I'm making some coffee, right? I'm using my Wolfgang Puck Jamaican Me Crazy, in which, you know, I don't know if Wolfgang's a believer or not, but if he would want to sponsor our truth, I mean, the Unchangeable Truth podcast. And all he'd have to do, he can just send us some coffee, you know, the Jamaican Me Crazy. It's really good.
It is.
And I like to put, just a little bit of sweetener and there's just a little bit of cream. I know for you coffee guys, you're just like, can't believe you do that kind of stuff. But I do. And this morning, I take a cream out. I even looked at the date on it. I'm like, oh, that's good. And I pour it in there and I'm talking to my assistant and stuff. And then I come back to it and I notice there's some cream floating in the top.
Ugh.
And I'm like, maybe it was because it's so hot and that was so cold.
That's no good.
And so I fish it out of the top, and then I take a sip, and it is so nasty.
Well, I think that's your problem. You had to fish it out of the top.
Well, I would agree. But the date was good. It was good till September, but I guess if you open it, you're supposed to consume it within a couple of weeks, right? So anyway, I'm like, oh, man, this is – and then I smelt it, and I'm like, oh, man, the whole thing's rank. And so what if I would have – put that creamer back, and you would have walked into my office, and you would have said, hey, man, yeah, this cream's still good September. And I watch you pour it in your coffee, and then I watch you start drinking your coffee, and then you're like, man, something's wrong with this creamer. And I'm like, yeah. Yeah, I knew that. I did the same thing this morning. And you would have been like, "What? Well, dude, why didn't you tell me?
Yeah.
And so, see, that's the equivalent.
Yeah.
I know the truth.
Yeah.
The truth is what I hang to. It's not something that I think is a truth just for some. It's not just a truth just for those who are born into a Christian family. It is the truth for all. Either it is the truth for all, or it is not the truth for any.
Yeah.
And for me to believe it's the truth for all, and for me to sit there and say, out of respect for you, I'm not going to share what I know to be the unequivocal truth for all eternity, then how can I have respect for you? How can I claim that I have love for you, so I'm going to let you believe whatever you want to believe? It'd be the equivalent of me saying, well, I'm just going to watch Ryan drink that sour cream, and he'll figure it out. No, that's not love. I mean, I would even say that's not even kindness.
Yeah.
And so he is the only way. There is none other. And one day he's going to come, and he is going to destroy. I mean, we've already seen these kingdoms be destroyed by other kingdoms.
Right.
But one day I believe there is going to be a reviving of the Roman Empire, and it's going to be mixed with all this other junk. Right. And, you know, I believe a 10-nation federation, Revelation talks about that. We'll kind of dig into that a little bit further as we continue on. And what is that going to look like? It's going to be led by the Antichrist. Who is the Antichrist? I don't know. We had a question that said, is it Elon Musk?
Right.
And I don't think it's Elon Musk, but I don't know. Yeah. I have no idea. I'm not going to sit there. I've had people say, you know, I believe my mother-in-law is the Antichrist, and I'm like, yeah, I don't think so. I don't know. I don't know who the Antichrist is. I will tell you this: that the world that is left, I believe the church will be raptured. The world that is left, they'll embrace him.
Yeah,
and they'll say, you're the one we've long waited for.
Yeah,
because he's going to bring peace.
Yeah.
For the first half of the tribulation period. And he's going to be the kind of guy that those that are here, they're going to be like, yeah, thank God for him. And he'll even, that's why he's called the Antichrist. He will even counterfeit some of the traits of Christ.
Wow.
And then the real him will come to fruit.
Yeah.
And what a terrible time that'll be. But I just say this, there are two kingdoms. And now's the time to make sure you're a citizen of God.
Yeah, you even ask him, like, hey, what kingdom are you a part of? You
know? Right. And just like the Bible, what the Bible has prophesied and has already happened, everything the Bible says will come to pass. Mm. It will come to pass. One day Jesus is going to fix everything that was right. One day he's going to come back, and the nations that are of this world, they're going to come against him.
Yeah.
And he's going to speak, and it's going to be done. And it'll, I believe, enter into a time of millennial reign, the 1,000-year reign of Christ here on earth. And I don't know all the specifics of how that's going to happen. Anybody who claims to, I'm like, I don't know about that. To me, the best that's out there, David Jeremiah, has done a pretty good job. But David Jeremiah will sit there and tell you, man, I don't know. I'm guessing on some of this.
Yeah.
At the end, it's all going to pan out. It's all going to be fine. It's all going to be Jesus. He's going to fix it all and just trust his word.
Mm. Well, that's, hey, if you're not if you're not tuned in to our Daniel series, you don't have a place to go on Sunday mornings right here at Highland Park as Pastor Stephen goes through Daniel, as he points us to Jesus every time. So thank you for doing that. Thank you for bringing the truth of Scripture right here on the Unchangeable Truth Podcast, and we will see you next time.
This is Pastor Stephen Kyle, and I would like to thank you for listening to this week's episode of Unchangeable Truth. We would always love to talk to you about your relationship with Jesus Christ, so feel free to shoot us an email at podcast at highlandpark.org. That's HILANDPARK.org. The purpose of this broadcast is to help you fall more in love with Jesus Christ and your faith to grow as you consistently find yourself in the Word of God. If you ever find yourself in Panama City, please feel free to stop by and worship with us in person at 2611 Highway 231 North. May God bless you, and we look forward to you joining us again.